Welcome to our Easter celebration.
Happy Easter!
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Happy Resurrection Day.
Hey everybody, welcome to our Easter celebration. We're so glad you're with us. We're going to just pray that we can all swing open wide the gates of our hearts and let God do a mighty work. All right, sing after me like this.
Lift up your head,
O you
gate,
swing open
wide,
new ancient door,
let the King of
Kings
take his rightful place, make room, make way. Of our King of Grace.
Lift up your hands.
Lift up your hands. Open
up your hearts.
It's victory over sin.
Sin and death is
ours.
Let the King of Kings take his rightful.
King of grace.
Who is?
And who is this King of glory?
Our
Lord of power. His name is Jesus, our risen King. Who is this King so mighty?
He's the Lord of strength.
His name is Jesus.
Lift up your head,
oh you gate,
swing open wide,
new ancient door,
let the King of Kings take his rightful place.
Jesus, our
sing like this. Oh, King of glory, King of power. Sing.
King of glory.
He's the King.
King of power.
Oh, he's a King of kings. The risen King. Oh, there's no one like you, Lord. God, we worship you. Each one of our homes into the sanctuary of God. We want to pray that His manifest presence will come to each one of our homes. And we're going to give Him glory. We're going to raise our hands. Keisha, lead us.
Yeah, we lift our hands in the sanctuary. We lift our hands to give you the glory. We lift our hands to give you the praise. And we will praise you for the
got it now. Let's sing one more time. Lift our hands in the sanctuary.
Yeah, we lift our hands in the sanctuary. We lift our hands to give you the glory. We lift our hands to give you the praise. And we will praise you for the rest of our days. Yes, we will praise you for the rest of our days.
We clap our hands.
We clap our hands. We clap our hands to give you the glory.
We clap our hands.
We clap our hands. Yeah. To give you the praise. And we will praise you for the rest of
and
our
days. And we sing our song.
We will praise you for the rest of our days.
We sing.
We sing our songs in the sanctuary. We sing our songs to give you the glory.
We sing our songs.
Yesterday we were rehearsing and we came up with a little Easter line celebration. It just goes like this. Sing with us like this. He is risen. Yeah, yeah. He is risen. Risen indeed. He is risen. That's right. Try with me. He is risen. Risen. Everybody. He is risen. There can't be any better news than this. He is risen. He's risen indeed. He is risen. Maybe you should wave your hands like this. He is risen. Give him glory. Oh, give him glory. Oh, give him glory. He is risen indeed. Give him glory. I can almost see it. Give him glory. He is. All right, give him honor. Oh, give him honor. We love you, Lord. We worship you, God. Just clap to the Lord right there in your house. Amen. Well, we've got a big treat. Ingrid's going to play a song, a special that she's prepared for us for Easter. Enjoy. Thank you.
that my Redeemer lives. What joy the blessed assurance gives. He lives, he lives. Who once was dead. He lives, my everlasting head. He lives to bless me with his love. He lives to plead for me.
This part together.
He lives, he lives, for you and me he now lives. It was the power of his love for us that raised him up. He lives to bless and heal. Our hearts and lives now to fill. He rose victorious. For our sin, now our Redeemer lives.
He lives and grants me daily bread. He lives and I shall conquer.
Because he lives, we have great hope today. And because he has overcome, we need not fear. There's so much fear and anxiety at this time. But Jesus said, I have overcome the world. Fear not. Lord, we celebrate that you are the victor, the one who has overcome, defeated death, working all things for our good, Lord. We put all our trust, all our hope, our lives all surrendered to you again.
Seated above, enthroned in the Father's love. Destined to die, poured out for all mankind.
God's only Son, perfect and spotless one. He never sinned, suffered as if he did. All authority. All authority, every victory is yours. Say again, all authority. All authority, oh, every victory is yours. Savior, oh, and Savior, worthy of honor and glory, worthy of all of our praise. You overcame. Sing his name. All authority, every victory is. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's all yours. It's all yours. It's all yours. Savior, Savior, worthy of honor and glory, worthy of all of our faith. Don't we love his name? Sing like this, and all the earth, oh, and all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. Come on, shout it so the neighbors can hear. Oh, all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great. That's a good word for this time for us. Declare it. Oh, we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Everyone overcome. Good news. In my Father's house,
There's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
I'm chosen.
I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am.
Sing again.
I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me.
I am who you say I am.
Lord, I am who you say I am.
Who the Son, who the Son said. Just declare this truth, say,
in my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Hey, welcome everybody to our online Easter services. What a joy to celebrate with you. My name is Tom, and I'm so glad that you have joined us today. Our pastoral staff is available to serve you in any way. You can find them at cachurch.com. Look for the staff page, and their emails are there. We'd love to serve you, pray with you, or encourage you as we can. You can also let us know of any prayer requests that you might have through our Christian Assembly Los Angeles app or by emailing us as well. We'd love to be praying with you and for you. For those of you who call CA home, you can continue your ongoing generosity back to God by giving online through our app or through our website. On our website, just go to the Give tab, click it, and follow the instructions there. Same thing with the app. For those of you who would prefer to mail in your offerings back to God, you can do that by mailing a check to Christian Assembly Church. And for those of you who call CA home, thank you for your ongoing generosity. And as always, for any visitors or guests, feel no obligation to participate in the offering at this time. For some of you, God is going to use this service to introduce you to Jesus Christ, and you're going to make a decision to follow Christ. At the conclusion of our message today, you'll have the opportunity to respond by saying yes to Jesus. And we'd love for you to let us know if you've done that via email, a message, or even a comment on our social media pages as well. You can email us your decision at decision@cachurch.com, and we will follow up with you just to celebrate as well as to give you some next steps in your new life with Jesus. Well, next weekend, I'm so excited. I want to invite you to join us for a brand new series that we're going to be launching called Hope Found Here, The Unshakable Promises of God. One of the many ways that we can come to know God in a better way is through His promises. And for every challenge that we might face in life, God has already given us a promise in His Word that is more than enough to meet the challenge and see us through it. So each week, we're going to look at how hope is found by God's promises. I want to invite you to join us next week as we launch that series. And maybe you have a friend or a family member that would be served by that as well. Well, you can invite them to join us online as well. In just a moment, we're going to hear the reading of God's Word by a number of our students. But before we do that, will you pray with me? God, now, as we give and as we come to you, as we prepare our hearts to hear your message spoken, would you now settle our hearts and minds, focus us from any distractions, and allow us to hear your word and respond to it. We thank you, Lord, for the joy of Easter and the power of your resurrection. May your word speak to us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So they arrived at the other side of the lake in the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from a cemetery to meet him. This man lived among the burial caves and could no longer be restrained even with a chain. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him, ran to him, and bowed low before him. For Jesus had already said to the spirit, "Come out of the man, you evil spirit."
There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. "Send us into those pigs," the spirits begged. "Let us enter them." So Jesus gave them permission. The evil spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the entire herd of about 2,000 pigs plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water. People rushed out to see what had happened. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. He was sitting there, fully clothed and perfectly sane, and they were all afraid.
Jesus got into the boat again and went back to the other side of the lake, where a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. Then a leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, arrived. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, pleading fervently with him. "My little daughter is dying," he said. "Please come lay your hands on her, heal her so she can live." Jesus went with him, and all the people followed, crowding around him. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything she had to pay them. But she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, "If I could just touch his robe, I would be healed." Immediately, the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized that healing power had gone from him. Then the frightened woman, trembling of the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell at her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over."
While he was still speaking to her, messengers arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. They told him, "Your daughter is dead. There's no use troubling the teacher now." But Jesus overheard them and said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just have faith." When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw much commotion, weeping, and wailing. He went inside and asked, "Why all this commotion and weeping?" "The child isn't dead. She's only asleep." The crowd laughed at him, but he made them all leave, and he took the girl's father and mother and his three disciples into the room where the girl was lying. Holding her hand, he said to the girl, "Little girl, get up." And the girl, who was 12 years old, immediately stood up and walked around, and they were all overwhelmed and totally amazed.
To all my CA family, happy Easter to each one of you. And to any who are joining us new, we are so deeply honored to share this time with you. It's amazing how many people I've heard from in the last several weeks who have been joining us for our weekend online services and midweek things as well. I've heard from people all over the country, heard from our international partners, and be praying for them as this pandemic is beginning to strike different locations around the globe. And I had one call from a faraway land called Bend, Oregon, and it was my grandkids who called. And so I want to say hi to Zach and to Evie and to Gavin. They called me and said, "Grandpa, we saw you on TV." And I felt like such a hero and such a star, until Zach said to me, "And Grandpa, we saw Tommy Walker." They are Tommy Walker fans. And here we go again. For 35 years, I've been in the shadow of Tommy Walker. Tommy Walker this and Tommy Walker that. But we do a dance party every time we go to Bend to Tommy Walker music. The Pickerel clan are Tommy Walker fans. Well, church, what unparalleled and unprecedented days we are living. But I cannot tell you the hundreds, if not thousands, of reports of people saying that faith has never been stronger, hope has never been more secure, and love has never been extended in such a great way, all because of this one thing. Jesus Christ has risen. He has risen indeed. The great universal question of the ages that is asked by everyone, but is especially asked by those who experience pain and loss and desperation, is this: is there a God? And if there is a God, what is this God like? Does he have a plan for me that extends beyond this ache that I have experienced? Well, we come this Easter to the Scriptures, to Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, with this very question in mind. We're going to look at three intentionally woven together miracles by the Gospel writer that answer this question, that tell us who God is and what he is like, by three things. First of all, by the places that Jesus goes. Second, by the people that Jesus chooses to meet. And third and lastly, by the gift that Jesus gives. Now, the whole of Mark chapter 5 is set up by a little statement in verse 1, where it says that Jesus went to the other side. Now, any reader would ask, the other side of what? And the answer is given to us: to the other side of the lake, to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. There was a region known as the Decapolis, which just simply meant the 10 cities. It was a non-Jewish, all Gentile area. In fact, the historian Josephus writes that it was the center of pagan culture. And by that, it was just a godless place. The things that were done in the Decapolis stay in the Decapolis. If there was a God, if there is a God, then the Decapolis is the last place that anyone would pick for God to hang. Never, ever would God be found in the Decapolis. Any just decent person, you didn't even have to be a temple worshiper, would know this. But all God-fearing people believed if you went there, it would make you unclean. If you went to the Decapolis, it was an unholy place with unholy people who did unholy things. And if you went there, you would be guaranteed to get a rip-roaring, incurable case of unholy cooties. Now, the gospel writer, Mark, is wanting to paint a very clear picture for the reader of where Jesus is. He chooses to go to an unclean area and is immediately, Jesus not only arrives, barely has his foot out of the boat, when he encounters an unclean man who has unclean spirits, who has made his home in the unclean tombs, and the primary means of occupation for the people in the Decapolis, they're into bacon and pork sandwiches. They're pig farmers. So Jesus goes to an unclean area to meet an unclean man with unclean spirits who lives in a graveyard, unclean, and is surrounded by people who are employed in unclean work. Unclean, 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 unclean. Here it is. Only the God of the Bible chooses to go to unclean places to encounter unclean people. That's going to be good news to somebody who is listening this Easter. We can all carry a kind of a secret thought inside, and it's this thought. If God only knew the unclean places that I've been, if God only knew the unclean things that I have done, if God only knew the unclean thoughts that at times fill my mind, if God only knew the unclean things that have been done to me, there is no way we conclude that He would come into my uncleanness. But the Bible reminds us that He goes to unclean places to meet unclean people, and He doesn't even flinch. This Easter, we're reminded that there is nowhere that the love of our God does not go. We need to hear this as both receivers and givers of grace. God's arms are wide open to you. His hands of healing are extended towards you. There's no place and there is no one that God's love will not go to set them free. We learn about who God is by the places that Jesus goes. But secondly, we learn about who God is by the people that Jesus meets. He meets a demonized man. He's going to meet a diseased woman. And He's going to encounter a dead little girl. Now, there is one thing that ties all three of these stories together. And it is that in each case, they are hopeless and helpless, utterly and totally so. For the demoniac, Mark hammers home his desperation with a series of strong negatives. He can't control himself. His society, his culture around him can't control him. They have tried, they have chained him, but he breaks the chains. They cannot restrain him. He is the chained chain breaker. He is unrestrained visibly, but he is held in a secret prison. There is no human solution for his condition. He is rejected by society and sentenced to the land of death. Maybe there's somebody this Easter who is listening to this today, and it doesn't look like there are chains, but you are held and imprisoned, and Jesus is reaching to you to set you free. Mark describes, secondly, this diseased woman who is unnamed and unknown. But he tells us this one thing. It's not that she has just suffered, but that she has suffered greatly. She's exhausted all of her financial resources, borrowed money. The debtors are coming after her, haunting her, harassing her for payment. And worst of all, there is not a lick of improvement. In fact, she is worse than ever before. She is not just bleeding from her body, but she is bleeding out her hope and her life. She's rejected by society because they have declared her as unclean. And her community, in fact, even refuses for her to come to the temple and worship. She is sick. She is alone. She is forsaken. There is no human solution. And it's been 12 long, hard, and bitter years. And then thirdly, we come to this 12-year-old little girl who is dying. Jesus is in conversation with this woman who is bleeding, and he is interrupted by Jairus, who is the leader of the synagogue in Capernaum. He comes to Jesus, and you can imagine the desperation of this father on behalf of his little girl who is at the very edge of death itself. Jesus, would you come? Would you come? He begs and pleads with him. Mark makes it very clear that all three of these are hopeless and helpless. We say they're at the end of their rope. Well, they're even more than that. Their rope is gone and they are in a free fall. There are two things, important things, that we learn at this point, two implications. The first is this: our God, and only our God, goes to desperate people. Throughout the Gospels, we see that Jesus has this gravitational pull towards people who are the most messed up. Jesus has a tender spot for those who are not insiders, but those who are outsiders. He favors those who are not powerful, but powerless. Our God goes to desperate people. But the second implication is this: we learn where true hope lies. Mark declares that Jesus is the only hope of the world. And I ask you, what human institution is adequate enough to deal with the evil in the human condition, the brokenness in this world? Jesus alone has power over demons, disease, and death. And I ask you this Easter, where's your hope? Where are you placing your hope this Easter? We learn about who God is from the places Jesus goes, and secondly, from the people that he meets. But third, we learn about who God is by the gift that he gives. Now, I think all of us share in common this experience of being given a gift that we didn't ask for or really didn't want. What a difficult situation to be put in. And in fact, by the way, rule number one on gift giving is give me what I want and not what you want to give me. We've all been at Christmas or a birthday, been given a gift, and then we went through the award-winning acting performance of trying to put on a smile. The person was so sincere who gave the gift, and they are asking, they're looking for an expression on our face. They're asking, do you like it? Do you like it? And we just lied to them. Every one of us, we've all lied. The only thoughts in our mind are, what is it? And I hope they left the receipt in the box. See, Jesus is the master of giving unwanted gifts. Much of what we desperately want is not what we desperately need. This synagogue leader, Jairus, his daughter is on the verge of death, and he comes to Jesus begging him to heal her. Now, can you see in his eyes the pain of this father who is hoping but almost resigned to losing his daughter? After his appeal to Jesus, Jesus says that he will come, and he begins to follow him as they're headed to his home. As Jesus is on the way, he's interrupted by this desperate, bleeding woman what a gutsy gal. What does she have to lose? There have been rumors about this rabbi named Jesus, that he's in town and that he's got miracles that have followed his life. With every last ditch effort, she just lunges, and at best, I wonder, do you think she just planned to touch his clothes? I can't help but believe that if she could have, she would have grabbed him and held on to him as her only hope. But the best that she can do is brush against his clothing. The Bible tells us that power flows out of Jesus. Jesus waits. He delays, wanting to know who it was that touched him. Now, the disciples are like, what do you mean who touched you? Everybody is trying to touch you. Everyone is trying to reach you. Finally, this woman with this bleeding issue steps forward, and Jesus will delay even longer from going to the home of Jairus so that he can hear the story of this woman. Now remember, this little girl is on her last breath, and Jesus is now delaying to spend time with this woman. I have a question for all of us, but especially to those who are doctors and nurses among us. And by the way, can I add to those, any who are in the CA community, who are doctors, nurses, healthcare professionals, those of you who are janitors, we want you to know we send the deepest heartfelt thank you for staring down this coronavirus. Thank you for the sacrifice that you have made on behalf of all of us. And I can tell you, there are people, if we could, we would stand and give you the longest standing O. But to all doctors and nurses, someone comes to you, two patients come. One has a chronic problem. It's persisted. It's lingered. But another has an acute problem. It's a matter of life and death. Who is it that you treat first? Well, the answer is very clear. It's the person who is facing life and death issues. This woman bleeding must wait, but Jesus attends to her first. That's almost a form of medical malpractice. That almost seems like a violation of a doctor's Hippocratic oath. Why would Jesus do such a thing? It's Jesus, what part of now do you not understand? Jairus, as the father, he needs a healing and he needs it now. But Jesus will give him far more than he thought he could ever ask for. He's going to give him a resurrection. There is somebody this Easter, and you are in the middle of it. It seems like God is committing medical malpractice. Why are these things happening? And why is God not showing up and showing up now? It's so difficult to understand God's delays. Could it be, might it be, that all of God's delays are delays of love? Suffering and pain and loss are not incongruent with His glory and His victory. This is the only healing account in all of the Gospels where Jesus gets weak. At the end of Mark chapter 4, Jesus faces down a great hurricane, life-threatening storm. The disciples are sure that they're going to die, and Jesus, with all power, faces that and calms the seas and the storm. In chapter 5, Jesus, with all power, confronts this man with a legion of demons, and with a word, he casts them out. And then Jesus faces the death of this little girl, the death which is our greatest and ultimate enemy, and with a word, he brings her back to life. But here's this woman who is bleeding, and power flows out of him. What are we to learn? He gets weaker, and she gets stronger. Because of Easter, there's a great exchange. There's the possibility of a substitution that can occur for every human life. She takes his power, and he takes on her weakness. The prophet Isaiah said, it was our weaknesses that he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. What if it's true? What if Easter is true? What if the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is true? Well, I want to end by telling you about a story about someone that I only know from books and listening to. In fact, I know people who have met her. Her name is Johnny Erickson Tada, and she is a remarkable human being, one of the great leaders in the body of Christ. She is an artist, an author, received many awards, and been a great advocate for the disabled. As a young girl, she had a diving accident, and she then damaged her neck and was paraplegic all of her days. She tells the story about being in a setting where the person who was leading suggested that they all pray together. And then the person said, you know, in fact, why don't we just all kneel together? Now, obviously, she was the only one who could not kneel. And then she had the next thought, I won't ever kneel. I won't ever kneel before God. And it moved her. It struck such a tender chord inside, a chord of emotion over all the years of shattered dreams. But then she writes, and she says, I, by the Holy Spirit, she was no more thinking this train of thought. She said, suddenly the thought of Easter popped into my mind, and I began to meditate on Easter. She said, a hope began to rise. She said, the thought occurred to me that someday things will be different than they are now. Things will not always be as they are. Someday I'm going to get resurrected legs, and the first thing I will do is drop to my grateful and glorified knees. And then I will stand, and I will sing, and I will dance. She says, you simply cannot imagine the hope that the resurrection brings to someone like me. See, Christianity is the only religion that promises new bodies and unparalleled joy, and the fact that we will be reunited with those that we love and those we have lost. It is the hope to run, to laugh, to eat, and to never gain weight, and to kneel in worship to Jesus in the new heavens and the new earth. For all who ask, who is God, out of their loss and pain and suffering, the gospel shouted, they declare to us as they show us a God who goes to unclean places, who meets and loves desperate unclean people, who extends his hands of healing to restore broken lives. And he can do this all because of his nail-scarred hands and his resurrected body. This is our hope. The greatest gift, the gift you would never think you could ask for, the gift that God gives to every human being this Easter is a resurrection. Where is your hope this Easter? You are a person who hopes. Now, as we're gathered literally by hundreds and thousands in homes all over this city, would you not get up and leave yet? But let's pray together. Lord, I pray for all the CA community. Thank you for the glorious hope of the resurrection. And Lord, we ask now that you would move in homes and apartments, around living rooms and dining room tables. We thank you, Lord, even as we need such hope, even in this season. We pray, Lord, for all who just need to touch the hem of your garment. We reach towards you even now. And if I could just talk for a moment, that there are some who are listening and you are looking for hope. You're looking for answers. There's a longing inside you for something more, something that this world cannot give you. You've looked and you've tried. But there's great news this Easter. God loves you so much that He sent His only Son, Jesus. He showed His love not by shouting it to us, but by becoming one of us in the person of Jesus. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the sinless Son of God. He gave His life on a cross. And on the third day, He was raised from the dead. And the Bible says, all who call on His name will be saved. And this Easter, this is your opportunity to say, Jesus, be my hope. I turn to You. In fact, just pray this simple prayer even as I lead you. Lord Jesus, save me. Be my hope. Forgive me of my sins. I turn to You now as my Savior, my leader, and my Lord. In Jesus' name. Well, listen, if that's you, there's a way, even on the screen, at decisioncachurch.com. And we would love to help you. If you made a first-time decision to be a follower of Jesus Christ, then you just email us and let us know. But maybe there's some others. Maybe there's some who you've been so removed from faith and from church. And it's your opportunity to make a return, to make a sort of a recommitment of your life to Jesus. And if that's you, you can also indicate that and email us, and we'll get in contact with you and help you to take some next steps. And then lastly and finally, there may be some who are listening to this Easter service and you're not ready to make a commitment to Christ, but you're curious and would love to take some advanced steps, and some help would help you so much. So if you will email us, we will get in contact with you as well. Jesus Christ has risen. He is risen indeed. This is our hope. We're going to sing one final declarative song about the resurrection, and then we'll be joined by Tom again for a final benediction. God bless you to all the CA family. We deeply love you and we miss you. Happy Easter.
Oh, power, resurrection power. Exploded that day where His body once lay. Now He lives, is our great conqueror, defeating death and now living again to set us free. 'Cause He lives in you, and He lives
everyone goes, sing hallelujah. The victory is won. Sing, sing, sing hallelujah. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, we sing of the heavens. Sing hallelujah. The victory.
Everybody, thanks again for joining us, and we are so glad that you chose to worship and celebrate the risen Lord on this Easter weekend with us online. If you made a decision to follow Jesus today, let us know by emailing us. We'd love to follow up with you. And also want to encourage you to join us next weekend as we start that brand new series, Hope Found Here, The Unshakable Promises of God. And now let me leave you with this benediction. May the God of all hope, shown to us in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, be with you this day, this week, and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, everybody.
Behold, the stone's been rolled away. Behold.